with Him, where there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. And He invites us to enjoy eternity at His right hand, where pleasures are there forevermore. Why would we want to fight against that? To me, it was an offer that was too good to refuse. I've seen in my life and in the lives of others that the greatest times is when we sense the call of God upon our life, and that we respond to that call, and then we begin to see God working through us as we're working in that calling. The trick then is to be able to discern the times and the seasons that we're in, and use whatever we're going through to fulfill the purpose of God. We do have a guide, the Holy Spirit. He'll always, direct us and guide us and lead us. And He helps us so that we can understand what God's will is. In Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Are we ready? Are we ready and willing to accept God's call upon our life? What is the Lord's will for you at this time in your life? You ever think of it this way, like, is it the same as it was yesterday? Is it the same as it was last week? Or last year, or 20 years ago, will it be the same 10 years from now? No, it won't. I mean, the overall picture, yeah. But His will, it's something that changes. As each day goes on, as each circumstance goes on, as things change around us and in our life, then God wants us to respond differently. Did you ever notice that no matter how hard we try, we can't make things stay the same? It just doesn't work. Sometimes we like the way things are in a particular situation, and so we try to keep it that way. But it just doesn't work. We can't, because not only do things change, but we change. Hopefully for the better. But we're going to change all the time. What God wants us to realize is that every season, every phase of life that we go through is just another opportunity to fulfill our destiny. All these things that we go through can either make us or break us. And we're going to go through a lot. We can use them for God's glory, and we can accomplish much good. Or we can let them slip away right through our fingers, and it's one more lost opportunity. Today, what I want to do is look at something that a very wise man wrote, a man by the name of Solomon. He was considered to be the wisest man that ever walked the face of this earth, other than, of course, Jesus. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which we're going to read from. And he teaches us in that book, and that book teaches us that whatever we go through in life, whatever we do, whatever we get, if it isn't somehow connected to God's purpose, to His plan, His will for our life, then you know what? It really doesn't have any value. It's fluff. It doesn't have any real value. It's actually, according to God's word there, it's meaningless. It's like mere chasing after the wind. Did you ever chase after the wind? Did you ever try to catch something when it's really windy? Just a piece of paper? Dollar. One time, it just reminded me of a story. One time I was pulling up at the bank that used to be on my corner, and I seen this guy running across the lot, just running. It was a real windy day, and I seen him running all around. And I asked the teller, I says, "You know why that guy's running over there?" And because he was going back and forth, and I seen him trying to grab stuff. And she goes, "I don't know." She goes, "But he was just here a couple minutes ago." So I pulled up and asked him, I said, "Are you all right? You need some help or something?" He goes, man, he says, the wind took my money and just blew it away, and it was about 10 $100 bills. And he said, I got about four or five of them. He says, I can't find the rest. So I said, well, I'll help you. So I went out in the lot, and I just looked, and somehow I got this ability, I don't know, I don't have that great of eyesight, at least for close, but far away, I spot things real good. So I found a couple of his $100 bills for him. Just off in the distance, I was looking at the horizon of the parking lot and could see like a little smooth difference there. And I thought, okay, is that something? And sure enough, I go over there, there's a $100 bill. And I'm looking over, and he's still running all over the place trying to chase stuff in the wind. And I just happened to catch two of them that were just laying flat on the ground. So I went over and gave them to him, and he was. It turned out, in fact, that he was terminally ill, and he was taking out that money to pay for some medication and stuff like that. And he thanked me profusely, and he was a lawyer. In fact, he said, hey, here's my card. He goes, I'm not dead yet. If you need any help, give me a call. So it was interesting how God worked, though, and he was chasing after the wind and, you know, and trying to get that money, but somehow God gave me favor for him to find a couple of those that had just stopped. But we don't want to be, you know, like chasing after things in our life that are meaningless, that have no value, and spending all our time running here and running there and chasing after things that means nothing more than chasing after the wind. If you catch the wind, you ever see that commercial about that guy running around chasing air? He's putting it in a bottle, and he's got a whole wall full of bottles of air from all over the place. It's like you look at him, and you know it's just supposed to be a stupid commercial, but it's talking about his lungs and something for the lungs. Anyway, it just seems so crazy. He's chasing after air, and yet sometimes that's what we almost, if you think about it, it's no crazier than us chasing after things that are disappearing, not lasting, rotting, rusting, going to fade away. And yet we do it all the time. Our destiny has a clock that not only measures time, but it measures the times and the events and the seasons in our life. The things that we're going to go through on our journey throughout this life. And on the face of that clock, there's an inscription. And it reads, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. A time here in this instance means a particular point in time, and a season means the length, a longer period of time. If you think about it, empires, nations rise and fall. Even countries as great as the United States don't think that we're immune from falling, from disappearing as a country. It could happen, and in fact, if the Lord doesn't come back, it will happen someday. All the joys and sorrows of life just keep rolling on, just, you know, with the shifting of seasons and the passing of years. And over and above all of it, all the things that are just continuing on and going on and generation after generation and life's coming and life's going, over and above it all is God with His hand on everything. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all. Sometimes we think we know it all. God knows it all. And He speaks to us through His Word so we can know, so we can get an understanding of what's going on, so we can learn how to follow His ways and know and just get an idea of what is happening. He wants us to see the changing and the passing of time that is happening right in our life so we can make use of these times wisely. So we don't let the times control us, but instead so that we can control the times and the seasons of our life. In the 8 verses of Scripture that we're going to look at, there are 14 what we call polar opposites. And these verses teach us that throughout our life, we're going to experience both ends of the spectrum, the beginning and the end. We're going to experience little and much. We're going to experience pain and sorrow and joy and health at sometimes. We're going to experience being first, and we're going to experience being last. We're going to go through the gamut of all the different, you know, phases of life. If we've accepted God's call on our life, every one of these experiences can be used for God's glory. And that's what he wants. He wants us to take these times of our lives, these seasons in our life, as we go through these things, as our life unfolds and we're on this journey that we call it, he wants us to look at the different times, to understand the times. It talked about the men of Issachar in the Bible who were wise men because they understood the times that they lived in. Sometimes it's the times in our life. Sometimes it's the times, the economic times. Sometimes it's the social times. Sometimes it's, you know, people who are really good at understanding the times in finance become millionaires because they see the changing of the wants and the needs of people, the growth, the falling of businesses. Some people are real good at spotting trends. But what we need to be really good at is spotting what's going on, what God is doing in our life, and the times and seasons we're going through. And we always need to remember Romans 8:28, which tells us that God is working all these things to our good if we're walking in his purpose and we love him. So what I want to do right now is read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And I'm not going to get through all these today. I can tell you already. There's too many in here, so we're going to come back next week and finish it up. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. It makes me want to sing, doesn't it? To every day, turn. Remember that? A time to be born, a time to die. You know, it's all in there. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. You can see each one of those has the two opposites on the end. And what God is saying here is that in so many instances, so many areas of our life, we are going to experience things total on the opposite ends, the good, the bad. Paul said that he had learned how to be content in all situations, whether in want or whether in plenty. And I'm sure every one of us here has experienced the highs and the lows, the joys and the sorrows, the want and the plenty in our lives. And it isn't over yet. It isn't over yet. You're going to experience a lot more. And in every one of those situations that we're in, these are the times and seasons that we're passing through. And as we're passing through, like I said, there's other things happening all around us that are also changing. So not only are we changing, not only is our situation changing, but the world is changing around us too. Everything is changing all the time. There is no standing still. There's no keeping things the same as much as we want. And God wants us to accept our calling and know that in our calling, we are going to have different times and seasons in that calling, and that God can work his purposes in us and through us in all those different seasons, in all the different phases of our life. Solomon begins simply enough by telling us that there is a time to be born and a time to die. That's pretty straightforward. Those are two events which we don't have a whole lot of control over, but God certainly does. Acts 17:26 says, "From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them." God determined the time that you came to this earth. He brought you here for this time. You were created for this time. We're not here by chance. You were literally made out of the billions of people that have existed, are existing, and will exist. Out of the billions of people, he made you in this time because you're needed for this time. Hebrews 9:27, just as a man is destined to die once, and after that, the judgment. We have a destiny to die. It's already written down. God already knows it. It's in his book. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the day, the minute, the second we're going to be gone. It's sort of scary when you think about it that way, that somebody knows our time. I don't know if, would you want to know the minute you're going to die? It'd be fine if you had 100 years to go and you found out you're going to live to be 100, but what if you found out it was next week? It'd be pretty scary. What if you found out it was right after you left here? Keith Hussey was telling me a story one time about one of his elders, a good man, real good man, he said. In fact, he looked at him as somebody who would eventually take over the church, left the service, drove out in front of the church and got killed right in front of the church. We talk about, oh, we could die just as we leave here. We think, oh, that would never happen. It does. If it's our time, it's our time. Even though we don't control when we're born or when we die, there's this vast area in between birth and death, hopefully. It's called our life. As a pastor, I've spoken at many funerals over the past 25 years. And I always start out by saying the person's name, their birth date, and the day they died. But you know what? That doesn't tell us anything about the person they were. It doesn't tell us about the life they lived or the things they accomplished or the people's lives that they affected. So I always try to take as much time as I can and find out as much as I can from as many people I can about that person. When I look back over some of these people's lives, I'll tell you what, I found some that are truly remarkable. Many of them. One man I did a funeral for used to come to this church. I never knew it until I did his funeral that he carried John F. Kennedy's casket into Arlington Cemetery to be buried. I wish I had known that when he was alive so I could have said, man, I never knew you did that, you know. But you know, you find out after the guy's gone, and it's like he never said anything about it in all the time I knew him. People's lives are sometimes filled with great accomplishments, incredible victories over tremendous odds, deep faith, wonderful friendships, great families, a lot of love and laughter, hopes and dreams. And so many people in this world were better off because they lived. Sometimes the picture is not so pretty. Unfortunately, I've had to do a couple funerals, not many, where I have to speak about a person that merely survived, took what they could from life and from others. They put up with people and people put up with them. They caused a lot of grief and heartache and hurt a lot of people. They died, and the world was better off without them. I wouldn't want to have that. I'd like to have that on your tombstone. We're glad he's gone. The world's better off without him. Life is a sacred gift from God, a trust from God. He's given it to us as, you know, to use it. You know, for his glory, a span of time, a season, to be used wisely, to be enjoyed, but to accomplish the purposes that it was created for. Our lives, we have them for a reason. Not to be abused, used up, and then thrown away. Did you ever stop to think about what people might say at your funeral? What would you like them to say? There's a great strategy for changing the outcome of something. What you do is you begin with the end in mind. And then you switch back. You get there with the end in mind, and you think about what, like in this case, what would they be saying about me? What would the final outcome be? And then you switch back to the here and now, and you begin to do those things that will bring us to that end. Sometimes we need to look at our life that way. The second line is a time to plant and a time to uproot. When I think of planting, I'm sure many of us think of what I thought of, a farmer. A farmer planting seeds. He plants his seeds in the spring season, and he harvests his crop in the fall season. In the beginning of our country, there was a lot of planting of the Christian faith. All of our laws, our institutions, our schools, our first colleges, even our state charters were profoundly Christian, with the name of Jesus Christ inserted right into them. In many states, you couldn't even serve in office without proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Harvard was instituted to train up ministers to spread the gospel. Many other of our great colleges were also. Our courts, our laws, our government, everything was designed to follow after scriptural, biblical principles. And yet you hear people say that, no, we were never a Christian nation. It's a bunch of baloney. Christians came here to make a nation where they could worship freely and worship God. Everything that was here was based upon Christian faith, Christian ideas, Christian ideals, and truths. Even those who didn't believe it, and there were, I'm sure, probably many who were not Christians, but they accepted it as that's the way it is. And it gave us a very moral society. A society of strong families, strong institutions, a strong work ethic, respect for law and order. There's a lot of decency built in. A lot of the first presidents used to proclaim that without God, our country could never function. Without a moral society, people would never follow the laws, that there has to be an inner law first to make people follow the external laws. That is true. And as we see people reject the law inside of God, you see more and more that people don't care as much about the laws on the outside, or propriety, or morals, or decency, standards, codes of conduct or ethics. A lot of people just throw them out the window. For a couple hundred years, we grew stronger and became the greatest nation on earth because we had a good foundation. And we reaped the harvest for a couple hundred years. And it's still A lot of it's, there's still quite a bit that's still hanging on. We're not lost. We're going through a tough time. I'm still very, very hopeful that this country will return in some way to our Christian roots. And of course, you know who that depends on? People like us. It's not just going to happen. There has to be a growing up of people that are in the faith, willing to speak out and help others to learn. There has to be a resurgence of the Christian faith. God can do it by His Holy Spirit. It can happen like that. I think we talked last week, two weeks ago I talked about how things can be going along and then bam, everything can just change just like that. And once again, there could be revival in our land. There could be an awakening, a spiritual awakening in our land. And we need to pray for that. And we need to not just pray, but also speak out the truth. Because if enough Christians do, that's what starts the ball rolling. Unfortunately, over the last 50 or 60 years or so, a lot of weeds have grown up along with the planting. It probably started well before that, but it seemed to accelerate since the 60s. And instead of uprooting that which was harmful to our society, we let it grow. Politically correct, you know, let everybody have their own way, that kind of thing. And now our society is very confused. People don't even know if they're a man or a woman anymore. I'm serious. Our foundation is cracking. And our country seems to be slowly falling away from what made us great. Again, I believe God can turn it around. I never give up hope in God. Talked about hope 2 weeks ago. And I have great hopes for this country. I still believe that God wants this country to be a light to the world. You know, I mean, and we don't have a hold on it. We don't have a lock on being the only great country. I think China's going to end up surprising a lot of us. The Christians in China are growing rapidly. Underground churches are everywhere in China. Millions of believers. People come to the Lord every day. One day they're going to overtake the system. And who knows, China may end up, you know, becoming the greatest Christian nation on earth. I don't know. Who knows what God's plans are? I certainly don't know that. We don't know, but I'll tell you what, I don't want to see our country left behind. The same thing that I talked about that happens in this world, in the natural world, can happen inside of us. The very same thing. We have to be careful about what is planted in our life. If we plant seeds of truth, of love, of peace, of godliness, faithfulness, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into planting good seed, if we allow Him to till the garden, then we're going to have a beautiful, abundant, fruitful, lasting harvest in our life. What we put in is what's going to come out. What's inside of us is what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. But if we're not careful and we let the weeds get in and we don't deal with them, uncontrolled emotions, fears, doubts, unforgiveness, lusts, greed, unbelief, if we let our hearts feast on material goods, on sexual perversion, if we let our ears be tickled by gossip, slander, lies, heresy, then we're going to have major problems in our life. Then what we need is a time of uprooting. That's the other side, the planting and the uprooting. These things need to be pulled up and out of our lives if we're going to walk in the calling that God has for us. We can't let these things grow unchecked in our lives because they are destructive to us and they're destructive to others around us. So both planting and uprooting are important in our life. Each has its time and its season. The next one is a time to kill and a time to heal. Of course, we know in the natural there is a time to kill. If we're in wartime and we're being attacked by the enemy, you know what it comes down to? Either kill or be killed. If someone is attacking you or your loved one, and they're about to kill them, and you have to do something strong, take action to save them, to save that life, we have every right to do that. We have the right of self-defense, and if we have to kill to stop somebody, we have that right. Nobody wants to do it. I don't want to do it. But if we have to, we do. And the law protects that. The state has the right to take the life of someone that has murdered others. So there is a time to kill in the natural. And of course, there's a time to heal. You know, we get sick. We go to bed. We sleep. We drink plenty of fluids, take two aspirins and go see the doctors or whatever it is, you know. We take our medicine. We do the things to bring healing to our life. But there's a deeper meaning to this verse too that affects our walk as Christians and our ability to walk in our calling and our destiny. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life never stops. It's never ending. And one of the ways he works is to help us crucify the flesh, to kill the flesh. How does he do this? By working in our heart and bringing conviction. By working in our conscience and bringing the truth of God's word in, the holiness of God's word into our life. And so that when that happens, we can see that, you know, we have to come to the conclusion that these particular things in our life are harming us. And that this particular part of self has to be put to death. Remember, the true me, and I just said it a little while ago, the true me is spirit with a temporary body. I am spirit. I have a temporary covering of flesh that I have to deal with. I am not flesh with a spirit inside. I am spirit with a temporary flesh outside. The real me, the me that's going to live on for all eternity, is spirit. This flesh is going to be buried and gone or burned and gone or thrown in the ocean and gone. Whatever happens to me, I don't really care. When I'm dead, I don't care what happens to my body. But it's going to be gone. But my spirit, I do care about that. I care where that goes. There's only one place I want it to go. I only got two choices. Let's see. Yeah. I'll take that one. I want to be with God. That's why Jesus was talking. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, take up your cross and follow me. He was talking about putting to death the flesh. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 8:13 when he said, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So see, there are things in our flesh that we got to kill. We got to crucify it. We got to deny ourselves. However you want to look at it. Doesn't matter what word you use. The thing is, we got to get rid of some things. There are things inside of us that just are hurting us. Just imagine if it was some alien creature inside of us. We would want it out, wouldn't we? If you found out you had a tapeworm inside of you, 6 feet long, crawling around inside your stomach, would you just say, well, it's not really hurting anything. I think I'll just leave it there. Would you? How many people would do that? Anybody want to leave it in there? I wouldn't. I want to get rid of it. It's disgusting. Well, sin is even more disgusting to God. It may not be to us all the time, but it is to God. And those things are harmful to us. They're harmful to our spirit. It's not easy. It's not always easy to kill the flesh. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And then once we kill off that sin that was dragging us down, then you know what? Then the healing can begin. I've seen so many marriages restored, so many relationships mended, so many lives totally turned around and saved from destruction. Repentance, forgiveness, reconciliation, all these things then can happen. That's the healing. That's the healing process. Once the sin is dealt with, once we get rid of that thing, then the healing begins. A time to kill and a time to heal. God's love can bring healing into every relationship. Whatever the sin is, whatever could cause us to self-destruct, whatever is holding us back from walking in God's plan for our life, God can help us. The Holy Spirit can help us put that thing to death. And then He's right there. Right there by us. Never leaving us, never forsaking us, even when we're going through those hard times. It's like when you ever see those stories, or maybe you've actually helped somebody going through withdrawals. Hooked on drugs and withdrawing. They go through a terrible time. But a lot of times there's somebody right there with them, helping them. And God wants to be there. God wants to be there as we withdraw from the sins in our life, whether it is drugs, whether it's greed, whether it's anger, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's perversions. What doesn't matter what it is. He'll be right there with us as we're going through those withdrawals. The God of all comfort who comforts us in our sorrows. The Holy Spirit who's there that cares about us. Whatever the time, whatever the season, whatever the situation, it doesn't matter what we're going through, God will always be there to walk us through every one of those times, every one of those seasons. People may fail us, and they do, but God is always faithful. His word is always faithful, and it will never pass away. Next week, I'm going to finish up the different times and the different seasons. There's still quite a few more. And all of these things, all these seasons, God wants to use them all. As you can see, just in the few, I just looked at the first few. God can use these different things to work in us, to build us up, to teach us, to train us, to help us walk in our calling, to fulfill the great purpose that we were designed for. You see, when God made us, when He created us, He already knew every one of those times and every one of those seasons that we were going to go through. He already knew the birth and the death. He knew the end from the beginning, and He knows everything in between. Not one of the things that we go through is a surprise to God. He created us. We're a creation of God. We were designed by Him to do good works that were prepared in advance for us to do. And in every one of those seasons, in every one of those times, there are things that were prepared for us to do then, during that time. We don't need to just survive and just make it through. Sometimes it feels like that, but in the midst of that time, in the midst of that season, we need to seek God. God, I may be hurting. I may be struggling. What do you want me to learn from this? What should I be doing in this time? How can I help others? Or, you know, maybe it's what we learn in that time that will, in a later time, help us to teach somebody else. And we've all seen that. The things that we go through, the hurt that we go through, if we keep to the faith, if we keep straight, God will take that and he will allow us then to be a blessing to somebody else as we can help them go through those things. Every one of us has a testimony here. Every one of us has a life that we've lived up to this point. And that life is precious to God. And he sees us going through all those different things. And he loves us through every one of them. He never leaves us in any one of those times. No matter what we think, no matter how we feel, God's still there. He's still there. He's still available. We have to call out to him, seek him, and find him. If I could have the prayer team come forward, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. For your word is precious. Your word is something that can give us such insight into life. Lord, I thank you for the times and the seasons that we're going through. Lord God, some of them seem wonderful, some of them seem terrible. Some of them seem quiet, some of them seem busy. Sometimes we find or see you in it, other times we feel like we can't see you. But through it all, you are faithful. Through it all, you are there. You are faithful. Whether we recognize it or not, your word is true. You are faithful. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all things. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon every single person here and hearing this message. And we thank you that you're working in our lives, that you're building and strengthening us, that you're blessing us. And I thank you, Lord God, that we can be a blessing to you. We give it all to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.